And I love seeing, you don't get to say this often, and these young ladies love me for it because I'm their pastor, but you don't get to see chubby ladies like that singing, amen? They're both amen? They're both out waddling out of the auditorium right now, looking back at me going, ratza, fratza, ratza, fratza, amen? Amen. Amen. We sure love Miss Katie and Miss Marissa and excited for them. Amen. Going to have these babies soon. And praise God. See, now I'm not the only one. Praise God. Someone else was doing this. Amen. I was looking to make sure the AC was on. And then Verley looked at me and she stared at me and almost knocked me down. Amen. Over and over in our text, we see the phrase, "The Lord was with him." The Lord, look back with me, if you would, there in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. It says in verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with him. Amen. Then it says, of course, in verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. If you go down to verse number 21, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Verse number 23 says, "The keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him." Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? And there are so many blessings and benefits to being born again, to being a Christian, to being saved, amen. And one is we have the wonderful gift of the sweet Holy Spirit that indwells us. By the way, you don't always feel Him. Come on now. We're not going to get charismatic now and say, well, if you don't have this particular experience exactly like this. No. I like to go back to my salvation. I remember a couple from our home church, Mrs. Boston will know them, Deb and Lee Townsend. I remember when Deb and Lee Townsend got saved. A successful couple, realtors, amen. They got saved in our church. They were in their 40s when they got saved. And they came down the aisle, Brother Holy, about where you are. And they got out of their seats and they were bawling. I mean, big tears, sniffling, amen, like my kids after a timeout, amen. I mean, they just come walking down. I mean, they were just the Lord, just wow. And I got saved. This is what I did. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. Please save me." No tears, no cold chills, just faith in the Savior. Amen. And the same result in both cases, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He indwells us. And so what I want you to see here is, just like the Lord, just like God was with Joseph, you know what? Listen to me, young people. God is with you. He's with you. Amen. I want you to notice this, just by way of an outline tonight. 3 points. Number one, when the Lord is with you, number one, circumstances do not have to destroy you. Number one tonight, when the Lord is with you, circumstances do not have to destroy you. Go back to Genesis chapter 37. Let's get a snapshot of Joseph here, this tremendous Bible character. Probably my favorite Old Testament Bible character is Joseph. And look at verse number 4. Or let's look at verse number 3 of Genesis 37. "Now Israel," this is Joseph's father, amen, "loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they," what's the next words, class? "Hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." They couldn't even have a conversation. You remember the story of Jacob. It's a tremendous story. But if there's one thing I can draw in regards to relationships about Jacob, is it's always best to have just one wife. I mentioned it yesterday. I think someone said, "Look at you, Pastor, with all these women." They said, "It looks like you have a harem." I said, I said, he who gets more than one wife gets more than one mother-in-law. And my mother didn't raise a fool, amen. I've got one wife and one mother-in-law, and she's a wonderful mother-in-law. She lives 750 miles away. She's a wonderful mother-in-law, amen. I'm telling you, it's the truth. She really is. She's a great... They couldn't even speak peaceably. These brothers, that they were stepbrothers of Joseph. They were had from Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah, the concubines. And remember, Rachel couldn't have any children. And then finally she did. And God gave Jacob and Rachel the one he loved, Joseph. And later on would give him Benjamin. But here was Joseph, the son of the old age. And you know what? They hated him. But you know what? When the Lord's with you, circumstances don't have to destroy. You know, if you're doing something for God, you will be hated. So, listen, honestly, if somebody came in here and listened to me preach on liquor and they were a beer distributor, I got a hunch, Brother Boston, they probably wouldn't like me very much. I probably wouldn't be on their top 10 Christmas card list. By the way, that's okay. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If there was a raft of sodomites that came in here when I preach on what true marriage is, a man and a woman, amen, I got a hunch I wouldn't be in their, you know, on their big list of to give gifts. Why? Well, you say, well, what's the problem there? He was hated by his brothers. Look at something else here. Look at verse 20. Not only was he hated by his brothers, but it got even worse. Verse 20 of Genesis 37 says, come now therefore, let us slay him. Not only did they hate him, they wanted to kill him. And were making preparations to do so. Next, go to Genesis chapter, same there, look at 26 and 27. 37, 26 and 27. It says, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him. Judah basically said, I've got a much better idea. We slay him, we'll conceal his blood. God's going to know about it. Let's just sell him. Get rid of him. By the way, some of you may have people in your life that hate you, but I don't know is that they wanted to kill you, and I don't know that they sold you. Then what does it say? Look at chapter 39, verse number 1. And it tells us that he was actually sold. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which brought him down. They actually sold him. Then if you go down to chapter 39, verse 17 and 18, he was lied about. He was lied about. It says, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought into us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. I wish I could have been there to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Hanging from the telephone wire. She was lying about him. She was lying. Everything she said was a lie. Lying. Hated by his brothers, wanted to kill him, sold him into slavery, lied about. Look at verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into where? The prison. He got put into prison. Go down to chapter 41, verse 23, and we'll talk about this in a little while here. He helps some folks in the prison. The Lord is with him. And he goes and he helps these people. And then if you go down to chapter 41, chapter 41, verse 20. No, that's not it. Is it chapter 40, verse 23? I'm sorry, chapter 40, verse 23. Remember, he helps them and he basically says one thing to them. He says, hey, listen, when you come to Pharaoh, just remember me. Do you know what they did? They forgot him. So here he was, forgotten, put in prison, lied about, sold into slavery. They had intentions of killing him. He was hated by his brothers. But you know what, Brother Hendershot? Circumstances didn't destroy him because the Lord was with him. Amen. Don't ever forget that, ladies and gentlemen. Circumstances do not have to destroy you because the Lord is with you. You don't have to be a victim of circumstances. I believe it was Brother Sammons told me this story about John R. Rice. He walked up to an elderly lady and he said, "How are you tonight, ma'am?" And she said, "Well, I'm doing well under the circumstances." And he said, "What on earth are you doing under the circumstances?" Amen? Hey, listen, the Lord's with us. We've got the Lord. We've got Him right here in our heart. We've got Him in our lives. Hey, circumstances do not have to destroy you. They didn't destroy Joseph, and they don't have to destroy you unless you let them. Come on now. Number two. Circumstances do not have to destroy us. Number two. Temptations do not have to overwhelm us. Chapter 39. Look at verse number 8, please. Temptations do not have to overwhelm us. It says, verse number 7, I'm sorry. Genesis 39, verse 7. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.'" And she wasn't talking about the lying that she was going to do in a few minutes talking to her husband. She was talking about intimacy outside of marriage. And he says this, "But he refused." Do you know why he refused? Because the Lord was with him. Because the Lord was with him. "He refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Can we say this? He respected his master. Amen. He respected his master. His master was the one that put him into this position. Amen. And he loved his... You say, he was a slave. He was a servant. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Did you know at your job, the job that you work, your job, at your job, whatever your job is to make money for your boss. That is your job. He hired. Why? Because you're supposed to work as if He was the Lord. That's, listen, you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It tells us to servant, be obedient to our masters, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. See, God will bless that man's business or that woman's business because of you, just like He did with Joseph. But he respected his master. You know what else he did? He not only respected his master, he loved his God. How can I do this great wickedness? I don't think Potiphar's wife was tender-eyed like Leah. I think she was probably a very attractive woman. And he said this, "I don't care. It doesn't matter. I love God." See, he loved... By the way, when the Lord's with you, you have that love for Him. You know that any sin that you commit is a sin against God. See, he loved his God. He respected his master. Can we say this? He saw sin for what it really was. Oh, he could have gone and done that sin. But you know what? He knew God would see. He knew God would see. He saw it for what it really... By the way, let me just give you a quick idea about temptation here. Temptations do not have to overwhelm us. Can we say this? First thing about temptations is expect temptations. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us. Temptations will come. Our Lord was tempted. In every way, the Bible says, like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. So expect temptations. Take precautions against temptations. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 39. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her," he didn't listen to her, "to lie by her or to be with her." He not only didn't listen to her, he said, "I'm not even going to be around this woman." Boy, sounds like a good way to avoid adultery. Amen? Say, "I'm not even going to be around this person." And then it says there, "And it came to pass," in verse 11, "the time when Joseph went into the house to do his business, there was none of the men in the house there within." You know what that tells me reading that verse? That he always made sure people were around him. And he said, if I do have to be with this wretched woman that wants me to commit a wicked sin, I'm going to make sure I got people around me. Because in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Amen? So, expect temptations. Take precautions against temptations. And then you know what else? I like verse 12. It says, and she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You say, Pastor, how could you like this verse? Because you know what else he did with temptations? He fled from it. You know, the Bible still says in the New Testament, flee also youthful lusts. You say, someone's committing, they're tempting me to commit a sin. What should I do? Get out of there as soon as possible. Don't hang around at a place, young people, or with people that'll tempt you to do something that's a sin against God. Flee from temptation. Take precautions against, expect temptation. But you know what? Temptations didn't overwhelm Joseph, did they? It seemed like Satan had his way. Joseph, an innocent man, was in prison after being sold and hated and fill in the blank. Number three tonight, temptations do not have to overwhelm us. Circumstances do not have to destroy us. I love this. God's blessings are enough to sustain us. God's blessings are enough to sustain us. Go back to chapter 37. I want you to notice God's blessing of preservation. God's blessing of preservation. Talking about Joseph here. Chapter 37, verse 21. Remember verse 20, it says, come now, therefore, let us slay him. They were going to slay him, say some evil beast had devoured him. Verse 21, and Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. You say, Reuben did that, but it was from God. But it was from God. Jump down, if you would, to verses 26 and 27. We see not only Reuben, this idea of preserving Joseph here, but we see Judah. It says, and Judah said unto our brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let our hand not be upon him. God's blessings are enough to save him. God preserves us. God takes care of us. Amen. Not only preservation, but look with me, if you would, God's blessing is found in chapter 39, verses 1 through 3. Look down at verse 3. We read verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, and the Lord was with him, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The blessing of preservation, but also the blessing of prosperity followed Joseph. Hey, you know what? When you're with God, when you're arm in arm with God, walking with God, God will prosper your way. Oh, by the way, that doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. Amen? Come on now, help me, church. But it does mean that God will prosper what you do. See, his prosperity was enough to sustain Joseph. His preservation was enough to sustain Joseph. You want to see something very interesting? Look to chapter 40, verses 3 through 6. It says, and he put them in ward, talking about these two prisoners from Pharaoh, the house, the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with him, and he served them, and continued to season in ward, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of the dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? You know, God's blessings preserved him and his prosperity, but God even used these prisoners. And you know why? Boy, you want a great sermon, I'll tell you what. Young preachers, look at this. He just went to be a blessing to some people that were discouraged. He saw a couple of people that were completely down in the dumps, Brother Ken. And he said, why do you look so sad today? And it turns out that the last thing that God used is providence. Because little did he know that they were Pharaoh's butler and baker, and that he would interpret their dreams, and that they would come to pass just as he said. The butler was going to be restored and the baker would be killed. And then the butler, Pharaoh would have a dream that he couldn't interpret, and the butler would say, "Oh, that's right, there was this Hebrew in prison and he interpreted my dreams." And Joseph would be vaulted to second in command in all of Egypt. Why? Because when the Lord's with you, circumstances don't have to destroy you. When the Lord's with you, temptations don't have to overwhelm you. And when the Lord's with you, God's blessings are enough to sustain you. I've had people ask me over the years, how can you give what you give to missions? How can you live hand to mouth, basically? I always say, as long as it's God's hand to my mouth, it'll be just fine. Amen? I'd rather make investments in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt, amen, than to have a fortune here one day and have the stock market crash the next day. I'm not telling you to be foolish. I'm not telling you not to invest. I'm just telling you, listen, when the Lord is with you, God's blessings are enough to sustain you. Look at me. I'm not wanting for food. Now, some of you accuse me of that. Amen. You say, "Pastor, you're getting so thin." Amen. Listen, I've not wanted for food. It's not because I don't want to eat, or it's not because I can't eat. It's not because we don't have any food in our cupboard. We got plenty because God's blessings are enough to sustain us. Hey, listen, you remember that. None of us, far as I know, and I could be wrong, none of us in this room has been hated by their brothers. Now you say, "That's not true, Pastor." Let me finish. Sold into slavery. Lied about. Cast into prison. Etc., etc., etc. And you know what? Joseph was made of the same stuff you and I are. But you know what? Circumstances didn't overwhelm him. The circumstances didn't destroy him. Temptations didn't overwhelm him. And God's blessings were enough to sustain him. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you.